Blog Talk Radio.
I'd like to share one of my favorite songs that is so dear to my heart. And I'd like everyone to join in with me in singing.
We are fighting for our song, and we will surely win. With our Savior, the universal King, we're united with our nation, and it's all by His name. So let us rise, people of Rome, fight for your own. Fight, oh, people of Rome, fight for your own. Fight for your nation, and we will all be free. Fight for your nation, fight for your own. Freedom, justice, and equality, we now understand. 400 years in the slave of the devil, lost from our home. So let us rise, even some, fight for your own. Fight, oh, even some, fight for your own. Fight for your nation, and we will all be free. Fight for your nation, fight for your own. The earth belongs to the righteous.
Brother Daniel?
Yes, sir.
We live.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. It's Daniel E. Muhammad of the Defenders of Farrakhan. I am the host. We will be defending the man in our midst, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. We are not also defending the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. We're defending the three. That is the Savior, Master Father Muhammad, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and the man in our midst, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and our nation, the Nation of Islam. We bring that truth to the despised and the rejected, not so here in the wilderness of North America, but throughout the world. And those who are willing and able to defend the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and our nation, we are willing to teach the truth and bring the truth to our people. And our people will wake up to see that the Nation of Islam is only the only way and our salvation. Brother Maurice?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. You have the tweets that I have sent you?
On Facebook?
Yes, sir.
Hold on, let me pull it up. Yes, sir.
Okay. The one I want to speak on is Mr. Jesse Lee Peterson, what he has said against the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan on Twitter about 2 months ago.
Okay. Yeah, I'm looking at it, but I don't see.
Did you go on the defenders page?
I went to what you put in my inbox.
Right, it's also on the defenders page, also.
Okay. All right, let me check there.
It says, he says Farrakhan is an evil man.
I looked at that, but I wasn't sure that it was him who said it and not the person who asked him the question.
Right. He actually said it. He put it on his tweet. He actually said that.
Okay.
And I believe some believers have responded to him, as such as myself.
And my computer is moving slow.
Yes, sir.
But you go ahead and talk about it.
Well, yes, sir. You know, this man, Jesse Lee Peterson, who has spoken against the Honorable Minister Farrakhan for I don't know how long. Now, his recent statement of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, an evil man, how can you compare a black man whose heart is nothing but good for the salvation of our people who has been oppressed for 463 years by this 463 enemy, and he has offered a solution, separation or death. You call Mr. Peterson, you call the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan an evil man. No, he's not an evil man. You the one is listening to Massa. Massa is the puppeteer, and you're the puppet to say against the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Any other Negro who's in that same bag is a puppet for these puppeteers, the whites in power, even the Jews. They are the ones are the puppeteers that's controlling you. Say something about that Farrakhan. Repudiate the Honorable Minister, repudiate Minister Farrakhan. Do it, Mr. Negro. Do it, Miss Negro. We will give you a bucket of chicken and biscuits, Negro. Oh, yeah, boss. Yeah, boss. I'll do it, boss. That's what type of Negro you are. You want the chicken and a biscuit from boss. But Mr. Negro, Mrs. Negro, you have to face a serious reality check. Those days are going to be over. If you don't repent what you say about not also Minister Farrakhan, but his benefactor, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and the Nation of Islam in general, you better repent. If you don't, you have consequences to pay. And that's the honest goodness truth. Hell is sufficient. Not the hell in the ground, but you got to face the wrath of a living God who came in the person of Master Fahd Muhammad. And that's, you know, that is the example of these black people who go along to get along, to get favors from them, for white folks, to get in office, get crumbs from the table, to speak to against a man that is worthy of your salvation. You be on your shows, Mr. Peterson, and have Whitey sit along with you, speaking against black people, speaking against the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, speaking against anybody who is worthy of substance for our people. That's your problem, Mr. Peterson. You just like a lapdog flunky for white people, mister. It's a shame. But I don't have any pity on you as a black man. I don't have any pity on you at all. But my advice is to you, Mr. Peterson, and I'm not being sympathetic or anything of that form, but when you talk like that, you got consequences to face. You have to repent. If you don't repent, consequences coming at your door, mister. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. You know, and I don't believe that people, they so ignorant that they don't believe that consequences is real. They really don't believe that consequences is real. They don't believe that there's a God other than the white man. They don't believe that. I don't care whether they Christian or whatever. They don't believe that there's a God other than the white man. Because if you really believe that there was a God other than the white man, then you wouldn't be doing the things that you do. And to even think that way about Minister Farrakhan, that in and of itself is a death sentence. The minister said, you better be careful of how you think about
and think of.
Exactly. And that's not a joke. That's not a joke at all. You know, to say that the minister is evil, you know, you really have to look at the definition of evil and then try to explain how does it fit. His work and the definition of evil is not the same thing.
That's right.
His work and the definition of evil is the opposite.
is the total polar opposite. So how in the world? It's either that he's ignorant and he don't know what words, the definition of words mean, or he's aware of what they mean and he doesn't care that he's lying on the man of God.
That's right.
And so even by you lying on the man of God, by you pushing him around in your brain, does destruction to your mind. It does destruction to your mind. And really, before the end of the day, you will be met on the battlefield. And then it will
That's
be
right.
too late. You can't say, well, I didn't mean it. I didn't mean it. I was just joking. No, it's too late then.
That's
it's
right.
It's just like Pharaoh. Pharaoh was in the water, and he said, okay, I submit. And
That's
God
right.
heard him. God heard him say, I submit. But he killed him anyway. And why did he kill him anyway? Because he waited beyond the time. You got a time limit. And if you go beyond the time limit, you will meet what you have earned. And Pharaoh got death because he earned death. And as it says in the Bible, ain't nothing new under the sun. What was is.
That's
so,
right.
Since there's nothing new under the sun and what was is, then just as Pharaoh wanted death for Moses and the children of Israel, just like Jesse Lee Peterson wants death for the minister and the nation of Islam and the believer. And on top of that, he really wants the death of God himself.
That's right.
And you say, well, Brother Muhammad, why do you say he wants the death of God? Because you're challenging the man of God. When you say that the man of God is evil, then you're saying the God that he represents is evil. And if the God that he represents is evil, then what you're saying is, I don't want them to exist. Because they are abject to what is right, what is peace, what is love, and what is harmony. But you put those things, the dirt of you and your master, on the man of God and expect we that who love him, that has been changed by his faith. And let me say this. There was nobody that came to me to give me the teaching. It was Minister Farrakhan through a cassette tape and then through watching him on TV that gave me, that came from me through his faith, through him getting up to proclaim the teachings of the messenger is what gave me life. Nobody else. And I can remember the day I came downstairs. I was a boy in high school. And I told my aunt, I said, you know, auntie, listening to Minister Farrakhan makes me love God more. Makes me love God more. And she said, are you sure it's not making you love him more? I said, no, ma'am. I love him, but I love
right.
God more.
Right.
And see, for me to make that statement, because all my family Christian. So we go to church. We go to church Monday night, Wednesday night, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We in church. But I
right.
never loved God while I was
right.
in church. I never got connected to that God while I was in church. It was just another freaking day to waste my time. But through
right.
listening to the minister and understanding what he's saying, it made me love God more. It put a love of God in me from listening to him. From listening to him. And that's not evil.
Right.
That's not evil. That's beauty. That's beauty. It's just like a sister told me from, she was over there in England. And she said, "Brother, wait a minute, I'm going to tell you." She said, "I hated Farrakhan." She said, "I hated Farrakhan for Malcolm X death." But she said, "But working with you, now I love Minister Farrakhan."
Mm.
And I was like, wow. All I could say was praise be to Allah. She said, "Now I love Minister Farrakhan." Because we love him and we love the God in our people.
That's
right.
And
it shows in our work. That's why we are attractive. And that's why, Mr. Peterson, you will never be nothing but a no good nigga.
That's
with
right.
With the way that you think. You will always be a no good nigga that's deserving of death.
That's right. Brother Maurice.
Yes, sir.
I want to add also, when you said about what these teachers have done for you, I would say what it has done for me, even as a boy of 13, when I first heard of Minister Farrakhan through the media, the day after the Madison Square Garden lecture.
Mm.
And I finally heard him a year later, Savior's Day 86, in Chicago at the UIC Pavilion, when Imam Walter Dean was by his side on stage. And I said, "I want to join." Went to a high school called Kenwood Academy. I came across, became friendly with his youngest son, Abner. But he didn't bring me to the nation then. I knew who Farrakhan was. And I was always saying, "That's my man. That's my man." But the brother who attracted me to the nation was Brother Aaron Muhammad, Brother Salim Muhammad's son. He had on a Los Angeles Raiders jacket, had FOI in the back. And I asked him, "Excuse me, are you with Farrakhan?" "Yes, sir." And I asked him, "How'd you join the nation?" He told me, "Come to Monday night men's orientation." I didn't come then. But my first visit was to Mas Maryam, June 25th, 1989, when the minister spoke to the youth. I didn't join then. But what really got me to join after watching Eyes on the Prize on Martin Luther King's birthday, January 15th, 1990, on a Monday night. And I remember my mother said to me at that time, "Daniel, you're going to orientation class next Monday." And I did. I didn't go to no Sunday lecture to shake no minister's hand. I just walked in the door to orientation, January 22nd, 1990. And I got my ex August 6th, 1990. So, Mr. Peterson, if I am of the despised and the rejected, I came from a different walks of life as a walking fool before coming to Islam. I was only a young man, 17 years old, when I came to the Nation of Islam. I'm 46 now. So you, Mr. Negro, can't say a damn thing about the Nation of Islam. You can't say a damn thing about the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan or his benefactor, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. All you doing is just trying to talk against him to please white folks. But those days are over. You better repent. I rest my mic.
That's right. That's right. You know, one thing that We can never forget, you know. When you look at the Honorable Elijah Muhammad with a
know, fourth grade education.
That's right.
And you look at what people who have duplicate what he did.
Yes, sir.
They can't duplicate it. But yet they say that Elijah Muhammad wasn't honorable, that he wasn't the messenger of God. If he didn't meet Master Farah Muhammad, who was Allah in person, then how could he do what people with master degrees cannot do?
That's right.
How can it? How can people? I have been blessed to have a measure of success. But the measure of success that I have been blessed to get is because I was taught by the minister.
That's right.
It is nothing that I say that I came up with myself.
Right.
Nothing. Nothing. I had to be taught. And so there's no way to, in the world, to say that the minister or the messenger or Master Farah Muhammad is not real.
Right.
There ain't no way.
Right.
There's no way. You can't destroy what God has built.
That's
right. You can't
right.
do it. And the enemy thought they were successful when Wallace took over.
Come on.
And the nation fell and went away. But then here comes Minister Farrakhan teaching exactly what Elijah Muhammad taught, and he rebuilt the nation. So
that's
much
right.
so that when you go into the Martin Luther King Museum that's in Memphis, Tennessee, where King was killed, it says a big old picture of the Nation of Islam is on their wall. And it
that's
says
right.
this is the only organization that was killed, that was destroyed by America and came back to life.
That's
the
right.
The Nation of Islam. And
that's right.
when I saw it in the museum, I wasn't expecting to see that. I wasn't expecting to see that. But it's there prominently displayed. It blew my mind that they would honestly have that up in there. But they did. And it's truthful. It is truthful. That's why the minister said, you can never kill Farrakhan.
That's right.
Because Farrakhan is in everybody.
That's right.
Farrakhan is in everybody. So no
right.
matter whether you're looking from your left, from your right, from your front, from your back, Farrakhan is right there in your face.
That's right.
You can't escape Farrakhan. You can't escape the Nation of Islam. This is where it is now. We are who we supposed to be. You accept it or leave it alone, but that is your reality. That is your reality. That is your reality. And with that, I'll rest my mind.
Yes, sir. You know, that is a prime example of the only organization here in North America that is standing up. Got an 88-year track record is the Nation of Islam. Not NAACP, not CORE, not the Urban League, none of those organizations have a track record like the Nation of Islam and hasn't risen up from the ashes like the Nation of Islam. It took a man to help Minister Farrakhan to raise the Nation of Islam to ash from ashes. That was Brother Jibril Muhammad, who was formerly known as Barnard Kushmir. So when anyone would say, talk about a dead black leader, especially the older people who would say that, we got a man in our midst today. I'm not talking about Jesse Jackson Shopton. I'm talking about the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. That's the man you better look towards too. Jesse time was up. Sharpton time is up. Those others, their time is up. But Minister Farrakhan, he's right on time. He will get through our people, as the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad told him, brother, you will get all of my people. And that's what's happening now. He did 10-10-15, justice or else. The Joshua generation standing up. And I want to say this before I rest my mic. I thank Sister Tamika Mallory for standing on her ground, not bowing down to that beast, to denounce Minister Farrakhan. Those who, I said, those in that bag and those who speak against them, you got greater consequences coming down the line.
That's all.
You got consequences knocking at the door. You got consequences because this is the man will lead you across the river. And he is not what I have done, but what Allah has done. And as Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said of his star witness, he is a humble man. And that's what he is, a humble man.
So that's right.
No one cannot say Minister Farrakhan is an evil man. Mr. Peterson, you better get your kindergarten intellect checked out, mister. I feel sorry for you, and I'm not mocking you or putting you down. I'm just telling straight up truth. You just got a kindergarten intellect, buddy.
That's right.
Cooning Uncle Tom Negro. I rest my mic.
Teach, Brother Daniel. Teach. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right, we do have a caller online. Caller, last 4-3-3-6-1. Your mic is live. 3-3-6-1. Welcome to the Defenders of Farrakhan.
That's Brother Tony, Brother Maurice.
Yes, sir. Brother Maurice, Brother Daniel, you all the only two brothers I done heard so far. I heard another brother, but I don't know his name. Salaam alaikum, family. This is a powerful family, brother. Yes, sir, and I can't, it ain't a whole lot I can add. I just enjoy listening, as Brother Daniel know. I was listening to him tell his story. I've heard it before, and I've watched Brother Daniel grow. Because we've been that very night he's speaking about it at the UIC forum, I think that was probably my second or third Savior's Day when they had when the imam was there, the UIC Pavilion, I mean. So, brother Maurice, Brother Daniel, I'm just listening, brother. I mean, you brothers are carrying the torch, right? At the moment, I ain't a whole lot I can. Other than, man, you all are doing it, brother. This forum is just great. I appreciate Brother Daniel introducing this to me.
Members, Brother Maurice.
Yes, sir.
Praise
be to Allah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know, the minister, just the other night we was listening to him. The minister is just the minister. There's no way to you know, and this brother, I think you're talking about this brother from L.A., called himself Pastor Peterson. Is that who you all are speaking about? Jesse Peterson?
Yeah, Jesse Lee Peterson.
Jesse Peterson, yes, sir. He's been at this a long time. I don't know if he said something recently, but brother, he won't come on, and I don't know. His brothers have tried to debate him years ago. Let's do it. You know, we like to, we talk to argue in the best manner, and brothers like him, they can throw those rocks and hide their hand, but he won't come out and take us on in the right kind of form. If he really really got some to say, he won't do that because he has no win. He's been trying this for a long time, and I won't say we waste our time, Brother Daniel, trying to go at this guy, but it in some ways it is a waste of time because people like this guy, and you all was kind to him. I heard one brother use the term nigger, and Brother Daniel, you called him nigger. Those are kind terms for a guy like him, brother. My vocabulary won't go to what he really is, but. But we can't. People like him, and we've been seeing him for years. But brother, you all just keep doing what you're doing, and I'm gonna, every believer that I run into, I'm gonna let them know about this. And as I said, I appreciate it, brother. And I'm gonna rest my mic. And Brother Daniel, Brother Maurice and the
yes,
other
sir.
Believers on the line. I appreciate this. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes.
I'm going to rest my mic.
Assalamu alaikum. Yo, Brother Daniel, I looked at that sister that you was, that other sister who said that the minister was leading us to hell. She
right.
says, what he is saying, let my people go to hell. That is where Farrakhan is taking you by teaching you lies in the name of God. By setting up a false image of God for you to worship.
Yeah, man.
That's from that sister.
And the church that she's affiliated with is some kind of outreach church. You know, that is a prime example of people who has a misunderstanding of the Nation of Islam and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. How can he would lead our people from the despised and the rejected and the believers in the Nation of Islam to hell? How can she do, how can she get that perception of that? First of all, Minister Farrakhan is not leading no one to hell. You all that want to rely on Trump or anyone else in office or any average everyday white man. But the main
right.
one is Donald Trump, who is going to lead America to the abyss of hell. If all these things prior to what happened recently, look what happened in Las Vegas when that white man shooting in the crowd. That's a prime example. You got angry people that's dissatisfied with their government. But, Manny, you have angry white people who is really angry that the black man and black woman here in America is still present. They want to kill a nigga. Excuse my
that's
terminology,
right.
but it's the truth. They want to kill a nigga, like what happened to our sister in Oakland, California.
Go ahead.
As Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has said, they're coming out the mass of civility. And that's the example of what happened in Oakland, California. But I want to elaborate on the Oakland, California incident because this is the reason why the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has said, respect and protect the black woman. Our women and our children are sacred. Damn it.
That's right.
We will kill concrete for our women
That's
and
right.
our children. If any damn thing come against us, we
That's
will
right.
kill concrete.
Yes, sir.
You know, you want to, you know, like with this woman, what she just said, you know, she's another example of being so foolish. And then you want to say we worshiping a false God. First of all, we serve one God. As Muslims, we call him Allah. Christians,
Go
you
ahead.
Call him Christ, Jesus Christ, Jehovah, Yahweh, and so on. So it's not one. No false God we worship. We serve one God, but we call him by different names. If you had common sense, whoever you are that said that statement, you should have another, you should have a understanding in that sense. But the sense you better have understanding what hell is going on here in North America, you better look at Donald Trump. That's the man
Go
that's
ahead.
Going to lead America to the abyss of hell, black man and black woman, if you don't wake up and smell the coffee.
That's right.
And you have the nerve, you have the nerve want to speak against the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and want to say he's leading you to hell. And, you know, and when Negroes who want to say you all are lost souls. How the hell we are lost souls? How in the world are we a lost souls? We were lost souls when we came to the Honorable Minister Louis Farr. No, we were lost souls when we came to the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, but we were found. My eyes are open. Now I can see. My ears are open. I can hear. Gave me a tongue so I can speak. Gave me a backbone so I can stand tall. Look at this damn beast in his ass. Gave away his cigarettes. Gave him his cigarettes back. Gave him that swine flesh back. Gave the mass slave master's son and daughter back. Gave that dope back. We don't need that no more. We don't need that nonsense no more. So
we were
the lost souls before we met the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. We were sick people before coming to Islam.
That's right. Go ahead, man.
You know, this is what gets me with some of you all who I'm with so-and-so, Reverend so-and-so, y'all the Antichrist. Oh, really? Antichrist? How can we say the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad is the exalted Christ? Christ means the crusher of the wicked.
That's right.
You know, it's a shame. You know, I have to say it. It's a shame how some of you Christians got things all twisted around. And I say, shame on you. Shame on you. You all has a limit. You all have a limited understanding who Jesus really is. You don't know.
That's right.
You just look at the Jesus of 2,000 years ago, the Jesus that your mama and grandmama had hanging in the living room wall. Just you all just praying, thinking everything is gonna be all right from the sweet by and by. Well, it ain't everything gonna be all right. But damn it, you better wake up and smell the coffee. Take that damn crack of Jesus off the damn wall. And better look at the real God who came 9,000 miles, taught one man for 3.5 years, won a third grade education. You better, that's your salvation. But see, here's another thing I want to say, Brother Maurice. With this woman who is so obsessed with what she was doing, with these tweets, every tweet that you can look on, it's about Farrakhan. It's about the Nation of Islam. It's about Islam, period, brother.
Mm.
It is a shame. You being that thoroughly obsessed, and you think Minister Farrakhan and you're right. Minister Farrakhan is wrong and you're right. You know, and you just trying to get all kind of followers and tweets with number. Every time I look up, you pull something from the final call. You say something against on the Twitter page against Farrakhan, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Then you said on one tweet, you had said something against about, you put on your tweet the Malcolm X interview that he did with Mike Wallace. When he spoke against his leading teacher, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, in an interview back in 1964, you had that on your tweet. What is wrong with you, Miss Negro? You so obsessed with it. It's a shame. It's just like you messing. You know, you just messing with a drug, and you just gonna OD yourself. It's a shame.
That's right.
And I rest my mic.
That's right. It's like. What the minister say, she got like the hot wire. She on the hot wire and she can't let him go. That's what's
right, going on. A live wire.
She can't let him go. A live wire. There you go. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Because she know who what they teaching where she at ain't real. That's her reality. She know it ain't real.
Right.
That's why she keeps saying Farrakhan, Farrakhan, Farrakhan. Because what she really mean is her preacher that she go to ain't doing nothing.
Right.
Hell. I'm saying that if the minister is leading us to hell, well, you know, we got to ask ourselves, well, What is hell?
What is hell?
So hell is a place regarded in different religions as a spiritual realm of evil and suffering.
Yes.
It's a place of perpetual fire, you know, but the earth where the wicked people go after death. Now, so she says, FireCon is leading us to that place. Well, if FireCon is leading us to that place for a people with good works, then heaven must be 1,000 times worse than hell.
Right.
If we're going to hell with good works, then heaven got 100,000 times worse than what hell is supposed to be. So in the reality in which her mental faculties is lacking, it must be that she's jealous and envious of the minister about why isn't her minister like Minister Farrakhan? Why isn't the believers in her church like the believers in the mosque?
Right.
That's her problem. Why she is not like the MGT that she sees. Because if the Nation of Islam is Farrakhan is leading you to hell, why the hell are you buying the final call?
Right.
Why? If he's leading you to hell, you wouldn't be buying the final call.
You wouldn't have done his lectures.
Exactly. You know, nothing to say. Because we not out there going to your pastor church talking about your pastor. I don't even know what your pastor look like.
What is he?
I don't know. He never heard a word out of his mouth.
That's right.
There is nothing there. But in her heart of hearts, she's really jealous and envious, and she don't have to be. All she got to do is get the courage to say, I want to accept my own and be myself. That's all she got to do. And come on.
Right, she has to repent.
Exactly. But her problem is she don't want to do that. Why? Because she don't want to be seen as somebody who turned away from quote-unquote Jesus. That's the problem.
Right.
She don't want to have to put up with, what? You don't join the Nation? You know how our family do, you know, when they're
ignorant, or friends.
And we walk away from Christianity into Islam. You know, when I did it, I was living with my Aunt Gladys, and I would play the minister on the radio. And, you know, he came in the house one day and was like, why you let him listen to that foolishness? And she said, it ain't bothering me. I listen to Mr. Farrakhan, and when I play my gospel music, he listen to my gospel music. We fine. What you mad about it for? You don't live here. But he was trying to get her to say, you know, you got to cut that out. And she was like, hell no, I ain't doing it. See, my dad, he had his own business, right?
Right.
And his secretary was an MGT out of Mosque Number 4 in D.C. She was the first person to give me a cassette tape of the minister.
Right.
She was the first person. Because when I first heard about Minister Farrakhan, it was in a rap song where Public Enemy would be saying the rap. And you're like, you know, Farrakhan's a prophet that I think you all listen to. What did he say to you? You know, going, what you going to do? Now, I didn't know. When I heard the name Farrakhan, I didn't know what he was. I didn't know who he was. I'm just saying it because I hear Public Enemy say it. So, you know, growing up in Philly, me and the boys, you know, we'd be rapping with Public Enemy, but we don't know what we're saying. And then when I got into high school, and the minister was coming to Philly, and a friend of mine, Anthony Delahousse, and a teacher, they went to go hear the minister. And they were asking me, Anthony was asking me, did I want to go and hear Farrakhan? And I was like, who's Farrakhan? You know? And I was like, well, what are you going to tell me? And he was like, he's going to teach you something. And I was like, well, how much is it? He was like, $10. I was like, no, I ain't going to go listen to nobody. I ain't going to pay nobody $10 for me to listen to them talk. I'm not going to do that. So they went. And so when the next day I asked him, I said, so what did he talk to you about? And he wouldn't tell me. He said, I ain't going to tell you because you should have went. So I was like, okay,
right.
No biggie. And then when I got to D.C., I moved to D.C., and my dad's secretary was in the nation. You know, she was a registered MGT. And so she was telling me about Farrakhan. And I was like, yeah, okay. And she gave me a tape, and I was playing the tape. And my dad was like, where did you get? Then he said, you ain't got to tell me. I know Elise gave it to you. And so he went to work the next day and fired her because she gave me a tape of the minister. And this nigga fired her. And I swear to God, my dad lost his business, and he has never been able to get back on
to retrieve
it. Never been able. Right now he drives
That's
for
a shame.
Uber. He drives for Uber. All
right.
Because he fired that sister that gave me a cassette tape of the minister. That's crazy. But
That's
he
right.
did it. And he and he
That's
and
a
lie making him pay for it.
That's
making
right.
him pay for it. Because he should not have done that to her. Because she did
right.
nothing wrong. I was supposed to be in the Nation of Islam. I was supposed to be. That's why I'm there. That's why I'm there. My dad, he said, when he told me, he said, yeah, I was going to join the nation. He said, but I was chasing a sister. And he said, when I got in there, and they were talking about signing up this and that, and he was like, I could see that everybody really believed what they was teaching. He said, and that's why I walked away. But I always wanted to get that woman. I say, well, Dad, maybe God really wanted you there. But you
right.
didn't want to turn away from your stealing and robbing ways. So you didn't go, but I did.
Right.
Because that's where I was supposed to be. I said, if you would have stayed there, then you probably would have married my mama, and we would have
right.
been a proper family. We would have been a proper family. But you
That's
didn't.
That's right.
So you was running the street, and my mama was raising me by herself.
Right.
So you wasn't there for me. You wasn't there for me because you chose the street over righteousness.
Teach.
Simple as that. Simple as that. And you're not going to prosper like that. You ain't going to prosper. And so Allah took his business. And he has
right.
never been able to regain at all. Never. He has never been able to regain. When you come against Allah, you should expect to get your ass whooped.
That's right.
Expect it. Because it's going to come because you're challenging God.
Gee.
You ain't challenging me. You're challenging God. And so he's going to answer to show you that he has the power to touch you. But see, once they get touched, then they get too proud and arrogant. And my dad,
right.
you know, he used to listen to the radio program, you know, every now and then. But he was jealous of me. He was jealous of me.
Wow.
He was jealous of me.
Mm-mm-mm.
And didn't like, and to this day, he still don't like that I have done things that he only dreamed about. That he only dreamed about. And he wished that he could do what I do. All he had to do is repent and beg Allah for his forgiveness and do right. But he's too proud to do that.
Right.
So you're going to stay in hell where you are. And that's where people will go when you reject truth. When you reject the right thing. Now, we ain't perfect.
That's right.
We're perfect. You know, we fall down, we got to get right back up. I heard the Honorable Elijah Muhammad tell the minister,
Well, there, brother, you've fallen off the log. And now
that's
you
right.
can't get up by
Newton
yourself
P.
and you need
Newton's
some
house.
Help.
After
that's
you got
right.
searched for Warren P. Newton's house.
Exactly. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So we make mistakes, but our brother and our sister's there to pull us up and get us right back up.
That's right.
To get us right back on the point. When you fall, you don't stay on the ground. You got to get up.
Right.
You got to get back in the fight. So you got to understand why it is that hard trials are necessary to establish truth.
Yes, sir.
Hard trials are necessary to establish truth.
Trials purify.
You got to go through things for you to understand who you are. Because
right.
you don't know who you are until you've been tried. Until you've been tried. I remember one day I was out, me and the brothers, we were out selling the paper on a Monday night, and the FOI captain sent us out there to sell the paper. So we're going door to door. And we're in this place, this apartment complex, and it was me, and I was walking back. The brother that was with me, I don't know where the hell he went to, but it wound up me and some other brothers. And I'm showing them the final call, and the brother pulls out a gun. And he points the gun at me. Now, I'm looking at it. Now, in my mind,
right.
it's a real gun. I don't know whether it's real or fake, but I'm looking at it. I'm thinking, okay, this is a real gun. And he
right.
pulls the trigger. Pow, 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 like that. And, you know, I just looked down, and I saw that there was no blood, you know. And I was like, I'm about to kill this nigga. You know, I went to grab
wow.
him, and then he was like, it's just a toy. It's a toy. It's just a pop gun. And, you know, I thank Allah because most people, when you get a gun pulled on you, you going to run.
Right.
And we're taught that we don't run.
That's right.
And I thank Allah that he gave me enough courage to stay, that I didn't run. Because that's
right.
what they expected. They expected for me to run away.
Right.
And I didn't run. I didn't run. When he shot, pow, 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 and I looked down and there was no blood,
gee.
My thing was I'm about to kill this nigga and then shoot him with his own gun. Because that is what we are taught. Isn't that right?
That's
Brother
right.
Daniel? And we take the
that's
gun
right.
and we shoot
Brother
them
Maurice.
With their own damn gun.
Brother Maurice.
That's what we're taught. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I want to say on two things. I'm glad you brought that point up. You know, I was a processing FOI in St. Louis when the minister spoke in St. Louis, and I'm in the search area. I was learning how to search, and I was searching this man, and I found a gun on him, on the holster, the shoulder holster, and I said, Allahu Akbar. And the brother was like, what's going on, brother? I said, he got a gun. He tried to get away. We held him. And it was a 45. So I knew I emptied the gun because my father taught me how to do it. And it was a black police officer arrested the guy. And the guy found out later the guy was a former FBI agent that recently got fired for drug and alcohol use.
Wow.
This was 28 years ago. Now, a year after, one of our brothers almost got robbed in front of the National House.
What?
Yes, sir. And what happened, myself and another brother was by there with the Supreme when he was the Assistant Supreme. And the brother hollered, Allahu Akbar. And we ran, we caught the guy, it was two of them. But when the brother hollered, Allahu Akbar, one of them said, oh no, we stuck up a Muslim. That's what scared them. And they got trying to get out of Dodge, but we caught them. And then when the police was arresting the guys, I recognized both of them. I said, wait a minute. I told Mustafa, I said, I went to high school with these dudes. Then to find out they had a warrant for robbery and murder charge. And they was doing a lot of sticking up in the Hyde Park area here in Chicago, brother. What happened, they doing life without parole.
Oh, wow.
Yes, sir. But, you know, when I looked at that time, during that time, I said back then, I knew both of them high school, but I knew how treacherous they were in high school. But I didn't know they was going to go that far by robbing and stealing and killing. But when they tried one of my brothers in front of the National House, you was really bold as hell on your part.
Very bold.
That was bold as hell.
Exactly.
Now you in the penitentiary the rest of your damn life for what you did. You know, that's a prime example going to this lady, what she was saying. This is an example of envious and jealousy of the Nation of Islam. What can your, I'm not putting no your church down or anything, what can you do for the despised and rejected? They'll laugh at you in your damn face. You got young people, these young brothers ain't going to listen to Jesus love you. Come on board, Jesus love you. They don't want to hear that. They'll look at you like you're a damn fool. But as you said, as the FOI go into community every Monday and doing the work of Jesus,
come on now,
we get much more reception than they can, than the so-called outreach can.
That's right.
They cannot do what the Nation has done. Did they reach out
That's
to
right.
the winehead? Did they reach out to the sissy? Did they reach out to the prostitute? Did they reach out to the bulldagger? Did they reach out to the man snorting cocaine or smoking reefers? Did they did none of those what the Nation can do? That's a simple no. But we have reached out to the winehead, the prostitute, the sissy, the bulldaggers, the drug
That's
users.
Right.
We reached out to walking fools with no direction, who's either in school or not. We have reached out to those. That's what the Nation has done. The Nation gave us life.
That's
our salvation. Not no salvation of the Jesus of 2,000 years ago, but the salvation that we have is knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Loving our people, loving us, the God who came in the person of Master Fahd Muhammad, loving the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, loving the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
That's right.
That's the love we have. Loving our people,
yes, sir.
Even though they acting a fool and killing and fighting each other.
That's right.
But they, how can they know except they have a teacher?
Yes.
From the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
That's right.
So this woman, when all I said, those damn tweets that she did on Twitter, you know, is it you obsessed with Farrakhan or is something touching you and let you know leave the church? Are you afraid to leave the church to come to something that will give you life? You know,
that's
you
right.
know, but I'll tell you one thing, to that woman who's keep doing what she's doing, she has to repent. You can have all the followers you want to on Twitter, the ones that you that saying they claim Jesus right along with you, but when you come to the real Jesus, a living Jesus, then they'll turn their damn backs on you. And don't cry, because we got the Jesus that'll wipe away your tears.
That's right.
Don't cry. Don't cry. Mm-mm. Those wasn't your friends anyway. They want to believe in a mystery God. But you got to believe
That's
in
right.
a living God.
That's right.
I rest my mic.
But then you talk about some of the trials that the minister went through to be where he is. You know, because
sometimes
people think, oh, you know, the minister don't go through nothing. Talk about some of the trials that the minister went through to be
where he
is.
You know, the trials that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan went through as a Muslim, this man, when he was the minister in Boston, he was given the FOI calisthenics. And he had in the bottom of his shoes what they used to call foot poolers. Shoe on the bottom, shoe on top of nothing on the bottom, had the funnies in his shoes. And the FOI was like, oh, no, we got to do something for Brother Lewis. They had to raise money to buy Minister Farrakhan new shoes. Minister Farrakhan at the time used to get used suits from the pawn shop, from the trunk of his brother's car, suits that wasn't fitting him right and what have you. And the minister and his family had to get food from the Boston Market District. Get food that was thrown away, make a meal for our children. Mother Clara Muhammad came to the house and cried and said, I never seen a Muslim that loved to live in poverty like that. And as a minister and a captain in Boston, Massachusetts, and what the minister went through as the national representative of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad while he was the minister in New York, all of those who were his enemies in the nation, who were once Malcolm X enemies, everything what they threw against Minister Farrakhan was say to him or lie on him, what have you, the minister has endured that trial as a minister in New York. And when the minister came to Chicago after the nation fell, prior to building the nation, Minister Farrakhan moving on Damon Street. He was the only black there. White folks were throwing bottles and breaking his windows out and what have you. One of them had jumped on his daughter. And, you know, his sons had to take care of the white boys. But he brought two pistols, one for himself and one for Mother Khadijah. And he told that police captain, he said, you make examples out of black people, but you better make an example of your own. He said, the next white person that attacked, harm anybody in my family, they will find a bullet in their backside. And no problems with the white people after that. Then when the minister had a Cadillac Seville, they was trying to repossess it. The minister told them, they said, Farrakhan, you behind on the pavement, whatever, whatever, whatever. And he said to him, he said, look, I'm not trying to hide from you all, but I'm going through tough times, but I will get you your pavement for the car. But he said, if you all trying to step your foot on my property, he said, I will set this car on fire and fill your behind full of bullets. But by the grace of Allah, it didn't happen that way. He went through that trial.
Right.
So anyone who has that misperception of Minister Farrakhan hasn't been through a trial, think again. The minister went through ups and downs in his life. As a Muslim. He went through ups and downs. So,
go ahead.
My advice to those people who has that misperception, one lecture that will stand out in my mind that will give you an understanding is two or three lectures. Savior's Day 1991, the black man must do for self or suffer the consequences. He said something in that lecture when he said, you don't know the Louis Farrakhan. When me and my wife used to pick up food from the street to make a meal for his family. And that lecture, that's what he said. Then another lecture, Power Lasts Forever, September 14th, 1985, when he said when he told the people from the car dealership when they want to repossess his car, what he'll do to them. And another lecture, Love and Duty, 2001, August 19th, 2001, when he said about what happened to his family when he was the only black in the Beverly community here in Chicago during that time, when they used to throw bottles at his windows and what have you, and what he had to do to protect his family when he said he was out of his mind. And in the nation, we don't care as much as a penknife. We rely on our God. But at the time, Minister, I'm not saying he went crazy, but he had to take a different alternative during that time. So those who got that misconception of that, y'all better listen to those three lectures, and then that'll give you a full understanding what the trial that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan went through in this life as a Muslim. And, you know, and that's why it's so important as us as Muslims and the followers of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad through Minister Farrakhan should study those lectures and keep in mind what the man in our midst went through as a young Muslim to right now in this life. I rest my mic.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. You know, they don't understand. You know, you're going to go through things. The minister has earned his spot. He's earned his spot. It wasn't no crystal stairs for him. And, you know, people talk about how Malcolm was such a good brother, a good man, but it was you being an example for me than me being an example for you. Now, if you a good brother, you wouldn't want that for your brother.
Right.
You would never say that because you don't want your brother to go out doing anything wrong. You would want to correct your brother.
Right.
Not let that be, okay, you go ahead and do wrong. Let me watch you do wrong so you could be my example. No, that ain't how to be. It's you keep me from sin and I keep you from sin. That's how it should be. But we get so confused or so mixed up because you born in a world of sin. It ain't easy being a Muslim.
No, it's not.
It ain't easy being a Muslim in a world of sin where you got wrong all the way around you and you struggling to be right. It ain't easy. And you doing right and people say, what's wrong with you? I done did this or I done did that. Yeah, you would have did wrong, but I'm trying to be right. But they going to say, what's wrong with you? Because you want to be right in your life. You should be tired of being what the enemy made you, the nigga. You should be tired of that. You should want to accept your own and be yourself. You should want righteousness. You should want to be found doing good by your people. Not being an enemy to your people. Not being an enemy to yourself. You got to accept your own and be yourself. Because that's how you're going to make it. That's how you're going to live. You know, Minister gave us the name Muhammad. He gave us the
name.
That's right.
one who's worthy of praise and praise much, even though we say all praises is due to Allah. But if you Muhammad and you actually doing the work of Muhammad, you will be praised. You will be praised. I get it all the time, and I just say, praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah. And I sit back and say, look at this. This little bad boy from Philadelphia, from North Philly, never thought, I thought I was going to be a bum in life. I thought I was going to be a bum. And look where Allah has gotten me. And we ain't done yet. We ain't done.
Right.
Allah's not finished with us. We got
to
move forward. We got to move forward and capture what Allah has sent for us to do in the name of Farrakhan, in the name of Elijah Muhammad, in the name of Master Farad Muhammad. You can't kill Muhammad.
Come on.
You can't stop Farrakhan. We got the devil on the run.
Come on.
You ain't going to get away with us. You ain't getting away from us. We are the original. We are coming back on top to place you on top if you would accept your own and be yourself. If you reject the evil of the white man's world.
That's right.
Accept your own and be yourself. Those are the most important six words that you could ever understand. Because in those six words is life, light, and power. And with that, I'll rest my mind. How much time are we looking at, Brother Daniel? Brother Daniel?
Brother Daniel.